You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mary Angela Artuso and Nick Mossa.
May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus be with you. And may the joy of Jesus be with you. May the joy of Jesus be with you.
Welcome to Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy. My name is Rocco, and I'll be sitting in for Nick and Mary Angela this evening as we discuss the meaning of Lent, Ash Wednesday, and some ideas and suggestions for our Lenten journey this year. As we know, today is Ash Wednesday. It's a holy day of obligation, and it's also the start of our 40-day journey towards Easter. Every year, Catholics try to answer this age-old question, what should I do for Lent? Well, who better to pick for your Lenten spiritual advisor than Pope Francis? Here are some of the ones we've selected. Number one, get rid of the lazy addiction to evil. Now let's expand on that. Lent is a powerful season. It's a turning point, and we're able to foster some change and conversion in each one of us. But we all need to improve, to change for the better. Lent is a period that helps us, and thus we can leave behind old habits and the addiction to the evil that deceives and traps us. It was from the Pope's General Audience on March 5th, 2014. Number two, do something that hurts. Lent is a fitting time for self-denial. We would do well to ask ourselves what we can give up in order to help and enrich others by our own poverty. Let us not forget that real poverty hurts. No self-denial is real without this dimension of penance. I distrust a charity that costs nothing and does not hurt. Lenten Message 2014. Number three, do not remain indifferent. Indifference to our neighbor and to God also represents a real temptation for us Christians. Each year during Lent, we need to hear once more the voice of the prophets who cry out and trouble our conscience. God is not indifferent to our world. He so loves it that he gave his Son for our salvation. Lenten Message 2015. Number four, pray. Make our hearts like yours. During this Lent, then, brothers and sisters, let us all ask the Lord, make our hearts like yours. In this way, we will receive a heart which is firm and merciful, attentive and generous, a heart which is not closed, indifferent, or prey to the globalization of indifference. Lenten Message 2015. Number five, take part in the sacraments. Lent is a favorable time for letting Christ serve us so that we, in turn, may become more like him. This happens whenever we hear the Word of God and receive the sacraments, especially the Eucharist. There we become what we receive, the body of Christ. Lenten Message 2015. Number six, prayer. In the face of so many wounds that hurt us and could harden our hearts, we are called to dive into the sea of prayer, which is the sea of God's boundless love, to taste his tenderness. Lent is a time of prayer, of more intense prayer, more prolonged, more assiduous, more able to take on the needs of the brethren, intercessory prayer, to intercede before God for the many situations of poverty and suffering. Homily, March 5th, 2014. 7. Fasting. we must be careful not to practice a formal fast, or one which in truth satisfies us, because it makes us feel good about ourselves. Fasting makes sense if it questions our security, and if it also leads to some benefit for others. If it helps us cultivate the style of the Good Samaritan, who bends down to his brother in need and takes care of him. Homily, March 5th, 2014. Fasting makes sense if it questions our security. Number 8, almsgiving. Today, gratuitousness is often not a part of daily life when everything is bought and sold. Everything is calculated and measured. Almsgiving helps us experience giving freely, which leads to the freedom from the obsession of possessing, from the fear of losing what we have, and from the sadness of one who does not wish to share his wealth with others. Homily, March 5th, 2014. 9. Help the poor. In the poor and outcast we see Christ's face. By loving and helping the poor, we love and serve Christ. Our efforts are also directed to ending violations of human dignity, discrimination, and abuse in the world, for these are so often the cause of destitution. When power, luxury, and money become idols, they take priority over the need for a fair distribution of wealth. Our consciences thus need to be converted to justice, equality, simplicity, and sharing. Lenten Message, 2014. And number 10, evangelize. The Lord asks us to be joyous heralds of this message of mercy and hope. It is thrilling to experience the joy of spreading this good news, sharing the treasure entrusted to us, consoling broken hearts, and offering hope to our brothers and sisters experiencing darkness. Lenten Message, 2014. We're going to pause for a short break, and when we return, we're going to reflect on the 10 tips that we just read and take some practical approaches to them, and also go through some elements of Matthew's gospel where Jesus was tempted in the desert for 40 days. Thanks again for listening to Radio Maria Canada. We'll be right back. Perfect peace.
are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program, Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mariangela Artuso and Nick Massa.
Welcome back to Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy. Again, my name is Rocco. I'm sitting in for Nick and Mariangela this evening. And we were reflecting on 10 tips for Lent. And some of the tips that we went through, we're going to give some reflection on some practical ways we can adhere to those or make some changes in our daily lives. So reflecting a little bit on these 10 tips that we've chosen to think about them in a practical sense. So for example, getting rid of the lazy addiction to evil or certain things that we know that we're trying to curb in our life, certain habits, could be certain addictions, taking some concrete steps to avoid them, like we promise to do when we say the act of contrition in confession, to avoid the near occasion of sin and to amend my life. So those two things we say remind us that we do need to take some concrete steps to avoid sin in our lives. So it could be simply avoiding situations that we know we should not be in, avoiding certain activities, and also to replacing, for example, if it's a bad habit or something we're trying to curb, we should replace that with something else. And preferably something constructive. But whatever we do, we should always be asking for God's help and His grace. And through the sacraments, asking for His help to do that and to accomplish it. Do something that hurts. So I was thinking about this while reading it. And I had a conversation a while back with a couple of friends talking about giving. Now, it's easy for us to give, again, when it doesn't cost us anything. If we have a lot of money and we give relatively little, it doesn't really cost us much. But even besides the money aspect or giving our money or donations or things like that, we were reflecting on how it's much easier to, for example, donate to a charity than it is to spend time with someone, for example, who's sick. Or someone who is needy in any way, maybe spending some of your time with them, helping them do something they can't do for themselves. There's a bunch of things in there that we could do that goes above and beyond simply writing a check or simply giving money, which are good in of themselves. I'm not saying that they're not, but there's a lot more we can do if we really push ourselves out of that kind of zone and get into where it's really, really personal with someone. Don't remain indifferent. So again, this kind of can tie into doing something that hurts. You know, we can probably drive by someone we see for, you know, asking for money or things like that, and it asks us a question, asks us, what are we going to do? Can we do something? Or if we think, well, so-and-so is always like that. There's not much I can do for them. Well, we maybe have to step into that situation or step out of the way we're thinking so that we don't remain indifferent, so that those things don't become, so that we don't become desensitized in a sense to those situations. So number four, pray, make our hearts like yours. Prayer would be just self-explanatory. We need to spend more time in prayer. We need to take some time, set aside some time to pray. To attend Mass, even daily Mass, the prayer of the Rosary, and there's so many wonderful prayers that we can recite, but not just those situations where we have set aside time for a specific prayer, but throughout the day. And even because and since we have all these tasks and we have all these things that keep us busy, we can offer up those sacrifices that we make, and offer those up to God, for others, for their needs, for their sufferings and for our own. Be it washing dishes, taking out garbage, doing whatever it is that we're doing, we can offer those up for others and their intentions. Number five, take part in the sacraments. So like we said, Lent is a perfect opportunity for us to receive the sacrament of confession, receive the sacrament of reconciliation, and receive the Eucharist more often. We need to prepare ourselves properly to receive the Eucharist, and the way we do that is through the sacrament of reconciliation and penance. If we know that, for example, our parish, or if there's a parish close to us that is offering confessions during Lent, we can take advantage of that. And also, getting back to prayer, I was going to mention participating in the Stations of the Cross. I know most parishes will do the Stations of the Cross on Friday evenings. Find out from your local, your parish, and make a point to do that. It's very powerful. Once again, this is Jesus with us, Reflections of Joy. My name is Rocco, and I'm filling in for Nick and Mariangela this evening. I'm glad you're joining us on Radio Maria Canada. We're discussing 10 tips for Lent, how we can grow closer to God, grow closer to Christ, his Son, through these 40 days that we've been given for our conversion and for our growth in our faith. The seventh tip we mentioned was fasting. Now we know there's certain types of fasting. It's not always fasting from food, although that is the most powerful one, and that is the most common one. We can fast from certain activities. I remember several years back, I remember hearing about some seminarians who did a media fast. So, for example, for the week, they would fast from and abstain from television, electronic devices, so phones or smartphones or internet. And those types of things can be used as part of our fasting. Besides that, if we're fasting from food, we can have a small meal. If we're able to and we're healthy and we meet the parameters of fasting for age and health, we can abstain from food. And that would be our fast. And again, offering that up for a certain intention, for our own intentions, for those we love, for some souls of our family and friends, for the souls in purgatory, for anyone that we know that's asked us for their prayers. Number eight, almsgiving. So again, not being afraid to lose what we have, not being afraid to give more when we're asked. Sometimes we do so much for others, we feel drained, we feel put out, we don't feel like we've been thanked. All those things can happen. But when we ask God for his grace, when we ask for his help in allowing us to be more open and be more giving, it's a perfect way for us to grow these 40 days. And helping the poor, number nine, that ties into the almsgiving, like we said, and even remaining indifferent, doing something that hurts. All these things together tie into that. And again, I think that when we're looking at this, not so much as these individual separate tips, when we take a kind of a 30,000 foot look at it, so to speak, we find that all of them kind of tie together. Prayer, almsgiving, sacrifices, doing something extra, giving, they all tie in. I would say that they all begin with prayer, and they all begin with an examination of our own lives. Where have we been in our own life, in our own walk with Christ? In what ways? And we need to ask him, ask the Holy Spirit to point out to us if there is certain things, and if there are certain activities that we need to avoid, and if there are ways we need to change, and we all have them. And the last one, number 10, evangelize. And that's a perfect way to cap off the 9 before it, because through all those things, through prayer, through fasting, through almsgiving, through not remaining indifferent, through asking God to make our hearts like His, we are evangelizing. And taking part in the sacraments, we are evangelizing, because we are becoming that example to the world. We are becoming more like Christ, and His example and His life will be seen through us and by others, and therefore offering the greatest possible example of our love. Now, even though we may not be able to make, or we may not think we can make, huge steps forward in all these areas, another suggestion was try to pick out a few that stand out to you in practical ways. And even for non-Catholics, they'll ask you what you gave up for Lent, which is a lot of times what we get asked. What did you give up for Lent? Chocolate and all these other things. Now, those things are not necessarily bad again, but here are some specific examples that Nick and Mary Angela came up with, little bullet points. Gossip, complaining, negativity, which would probably cover a lot of these, being late, arguing, being picky, anger, lying, cursing, television, Facebook, soda, chocolate, shopping, secular music, secular reading, meat, something we can abstain from, naps, junk food, fast food, a reasonable diet, coffee, sarcasm, staying up late, spending too much time on the internet, YouTube, etc., alcohol, chewing gum, checking your smartphone when you're with people. That's interesting. Driving when you could walk. Idle curiosity. Try not reading every sign you pass or Googling every question you have. If it doesn't matter, be content not to know. I guess that's kind of humility in a sense. Anything that's about popularity, checking your blog stats, posting things on Facebook that are clever but not edifying. That's a good one too. Lenten prayer schedule. A holy hour or one of the following: daily mass, reading a chapter of scripture every day. If you read 2 chapters a day during Lent and don't skip Sundays, you can get through all 4 gospels. 10 minutes of meditation each day, chaplet of divine mercy, holy rosary. Join a Bible study at your parish if there is one. 20 minutes of spiritual reading per day. Attend your church's Lenten mission. Find an adoration chapel on your way home each day and spend a holy hour, even half an hour if you can. Liturgy of the Hours. Wearing a holy object. Most people forget these simple things, but wearing a holy and blessed object, crucifix, a medal. Go to confession weekly, every other week during Lent. Pray the Stations of the Cross each Friday. Get up early to pray. So rather than staying up late and sleeping in, get up the extra hour early to pray. Journal. So keeping a journal of these 40 days, you can later reflect when it's Easter. You can go back and reread the different ways and the different things you were thinking of and the experience you had. Be intentional about your time. Make a schedule with prayer featuring prominently and stick to it. Break your fast with the Eucharist each day. I thought this one was particularly beautiful. If we're fasting the day before, a beautiful way to break our fast would be to receive the Eucharist at Mass. Pick a virtue to strive for each day. Spend 10 minutes each night speaking to the Lord about your day, thanking Him for all the good and all the trials, confessing our sins to Him, examining our conscience, and asking for the grace for the day to come. Pick a saint to be like. There's so many resources we have available to us. That's the beauty of our faith, is the deep deposit of faith in the tradition and all the wonderful examples we have through the centuries of saints and blesseds who lived out their lives perfectly for Christ. Visit a nursing home. Invite a priest or religious to your home for dinner. Call your mother. Volunteer once a week. Soup kitchen, shoveling snow, nursery at church, a senior's home. Pay someone a compliment every day. Do something specific for someone to make their day a little bit better. Do something simple. Perform an act of charity each day. Do the dishes when it's not your turn. Take your kids to that awful playground they love so much. Talk to your parents. Pick up litter. Tell someone about Jesus. We're going to take a short break, and when we return, we're going to reflect on parts of the fourth chapter of Matthew's gospel, in which Jesus himself was tempted by Satan in the desert for 40 days. We're going to go through three parts and reflect on each of those, and we encourage you to follow along with us in your Bible. Thanks again for listening to Radio Maria Canada. We'll be right back.
There's got to be more than going back and forth, from doing right to doing wrong, 'cause we were taught that's who we are. Well, come on, get in line right behind me, you along with everybody, thinking there's worth in what you do. Then like a hero who takes the stage, when we're on the edge of our seat, saying it's too late, well, let me introduce you to amazing grace. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth. Like this, and wrap him up in righteousness, but that's exactly what he's doing. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is a cross has made, the cross has made you flawless.
Yeah.
are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program, Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mariangela Artuso and Nick Massa.
Thanks again for joining us. This is Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy. Again, my name is Rocco, and I'm filling in tonight for Nick and Mariangela. I'm glad you're with us as we take a reflective look at Lent and our 40-day journey to Easter. As we said before the break, we're going to be reading three passages from Matthew's Gospel from the fourth chapter, in which Jesus himself was tempted by Satan in the desert, and reflect on each of those specific passages. The first passage is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. During that time, the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No. The scripture says, 'Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Reflecting on that, this was not only a physical temptation, but also a temptation to use Christ's power for his own selfish purposes instead of God's mission. Satan's lie was that Jesus couldn't trust in God's providence, so he should take matters into his own hands. The response of Jesus appealed to the faithfulness of God and his word. And interestingly enough, Jesus did miraculously create bread in a later miracle. But the feeding of the 5,000 was in line with God's purpose for him, to draw people to himself. The second passage from Matthew's Gospel is chapter 4, verse 5 through 7. Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say, 'He will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone.'" Jesus responded, "The scripture also says, 'You must not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Now, in this passage, Satan quoted a Bible passage to try to manipulate Jesus. This was a temptation to test the Father's care for him. Did the Father really love him? He could prove it wrong by putting himself into harm's way to force God to help. The response of Jesus is a simple appeal to a timeless principle. Don't test God when he has already spoken clearly. God the Father loved Jesus as he testified at his baptism. God's word is truth, and questioning it is a sign of insecurity and a lack of faith. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 through 10, we read, "Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. 'I will give it all to you,' he said, 'if you will kneel and worship me.' 'Get behind me, Satan,' Jesus told him, 'for the scripture says, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" When we look at this scripture, we think about how Jesus came to earth for these kingdoms. His mission was to gather all nations into the kingdom of God. But this particular temptation was to take a shortcut to God's purpose. All of the world's dominion would be given to Jesus when he finished his work, but not before. His work involved the crucifixion. Before he could sit on the throne, Jesus had to hang on the cross. Satan was saying, "You can have it all, and you don't have to follow God's plan to get it." Christ's response showed his true allegiance. Clearly, he would not serve the devil for any reason, even if it seemed to line up with something good. Jesus trusted God's plan and his methods. From those three passages of Matthew's Gospel, we can glean from them five lessons. Satan threw his worst at Jesus, and how Jesus handled these temptations is instructive. The five lessons we take from this. Number one, no one is exempt from temptation. not even Jesus. There is no reason to think that you or I will be spared, so don't be surprised when temptation comes. Temptation is not the same as sin. It is not a sin to be tempted or to feel tempted. Jesus himself was tempted, but he never sinned. It becomes sin when you believe and act on the lie behind the temptation. Respond to temptation with God's word. If there is a particular temptation that Satan uses a lot in your life, memorize or post in a prominent location a Bible verse that deals directly with that issue. Number 4, resist the devil in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. Everything he did was in reliance on the Holy Spirit's power. He faced temptation by relying on the Holy Spirit the same way that we can resist the devil. Pursue the will of God. In every temptation, Satan tried to divert Jesus from God's mission. If you're pursuing God's purpose for your own life, you'll succeed in overcoming temptations. Thinking about all these reflections, the passages from the Gospel of Matthew, and now thinking about our own entering into these next 40 days of Lent, I remember thinking how this period of Lent is a gift. It's a gift from the church. It's a gift from God himself, directly to us and directly into our lives personally, as a way to help us transform and to help us in conversion. So there's definitely a purpose every year when we're given this time, right before Easter. We're given the chance to prepare spiritually, to prepare our hearts, to prepare our minds, in the expectation that when Easter arrives and when we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, our Lord, we ourselves are changed and become more like him. So we go through a 40-day period of kind of a death, in a sense, where we die to certain things. We're reminded when Christ told us that we die to the world, die to sin, and live for him, live in the Spirit of God. So that's something we have to keep in mind. If Lent comes and goes, and we haven't noticed a change, we haven't noticed a growth, we need to be very mindful of how we're spending these 40 days. Because similarly in Advent, before we know it, it'll be Easter. And as many people have said in the past, and I've heard over the years, we cannot have Easter Sunday without Good Friday. So in all things, in all the different ways we're going to prepare for Easter, taking up our cross, praying, fasting, acts of mercy, acts of charity, spending more time reading, spending more time praying, offering a holy hour, offering our daily chores, our daily sufferings, and our daily trials for the intentions of others, for souls in purgatory, for family members and friends, and also for our own benefit. All of those things, done with the proper disposition, done with a genuine hunger to grow close to God, most definitely will bear much fruit. We're going to close our program tonight with a song by Matt Marr. The song is called You Were on the Cross. And I thought of this particular song because when we think of our own trials, our own suffering, and our own cross, sometimes we ask where God is in all of that. Where is Jesus in all of our suffering? And the answer is, he was on the cross when all these things occurred to us. He was there. and is there with us now. I'd like to thank Nick and Mary Angela for allowing me to sit in this evening, and I'd like to invite you to join us next month on Jesus With Us, Reflections of Joy on Radio Maria Canada. Thank you and good night.
Everything is lost, and everything I've loved before is gone. Alone, like the coming of the frost, and a cold winter's chill in my stony heart. And where were you when all that I've hoped for? Shambles around me. You were on the cross. Pain, could you take away the pain? If I find someone to blame, make my life seem easier. Oh no, all my friends are asleep, and I can't find anyone to stay awake with me. Where were you when sin stole my innocence? Where were you when I was ashamed?
joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus be with you, and may the joy of Jesus be with you, may the joy of Jesus be with you, may you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus.
You have been listening to Jesus With Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mary Angela Artuso and Nick Massa.